James, and we're taking it about almost verse by verse as we go through here. And Brother Dave, I changed the title of the message from what I had in the bulletin, what I announced, to calling it Earthly Wisdom. Brother Dave always wants the name of the title of the sermon, Earthly Wisdom. James chapter 3, I'm going to begin reading in verse 13. I'm going to read down through the end of the chapter because this is all one subject that is being addressed here, and I want to keep our message tonight in context. James chapter 3, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 3. The Bible says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." I want to talk about this earthly wisdom. Let's pray real quick and we'll have our message. Father in heaven, Lord, it's been a good day. Lord, we thank you for these great hymns that you've given to us over the years. Now, as we look into your word, I pray you'd speak to our hearts to finish out the Lord's day. I pray, God, you'd open our hearts and minds that we'd be receptive. We can go into this work week closer to you, stronger in our faith, our mind set on Christ, and that you would bless. Fill me, I pray, tonight, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, and speak through me in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7, we noted 2 weeks ago as we were studying through here. Proverbs 4, 7 says this, "Wisdom is the principal thing." What that's telling us is, as we pointed out earlier, wisdom is vital to living the successful Christian life. One of the most important things, one of the primary efforts in my life should be to gain wisdom. Now, there are a lot of people in the world who consider themselves to be wise. There's a lot of people in the world that the world, society, exalts them as very wise people. Now, I'd like you to keep your place here, and if you would, turn with me to Romans chapter number 1. There's people in the world, on the radio, TV, out there in society, that have a reputation in the world that they are very wise people. They have great advice, they have great information. If we just listen to what they have to say, boy, our lives will really be something. Romans chapter 1, I want to begin reading in verse 21. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened." Now look at verse 22. "Professing themselves to be," what? "Wise, they became fools." They weren't what they claimed to be. They weren't what they were presented to be. And then he goes on and paints a horrific picture and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. "Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever." Amen. "For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." And then he goes on. My point I'm trying to make is this. There is a wisdom of the world that is really foolishness. And the world's wisdom, that earthly wisdom, that wisdom that the world exalts, that man claims to have, the consequences of following that wisdom, that advice, that way of thinking, the consequences of that is horrendous, is tragic. It's described here in Romans chapter 1. People who profess themselves to be wise, they're really not wise, they're foolish. And the impact that that has on the world, the impact that that has on society, the lifestyle that that produces is absolutely tragic. In verse 22 there, he says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I thought this was interesting as I studied that word fools there. It comes from the same word that we studied in Matthew chapter 5 on Wednesday nights when he talked about ye are the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its savor, same word as the word fools here. In other words, these are people who claim to be wise. They claim to be have great wisdom, but they were fools. They did not have any savor. In other words, they had nothing of any moral value to add to mankind. They offered nothing towards the spiritual well-being of people. They claimed to be wise, but they had no savor. They had nothing of any value to offer. Now, if you would, come back to James, and we're not going to get to the whole message tonight. I'll maybe just lay the groundwork. We'll be out of here by 10:30. I promise you that for sure. And so don't worry. If you come back to James, I want you to notice here that there are two wisdoms addressed, as we mentioned. Nearly everything that God does, Satan will come up with a counterfeit. And God has His wisdom. There is wisdom from above, heavenly wisdom. And the Bible here also references earthly wisdom. Heavenly wisdom and earthly wisdom. Two kinds of wisdom we can live by. Two philosophies of life. Two ways of thinking that we can follow, either the earthly wisdom or the heavenly wisdom. Now the question comes up, how do you know the difference between the two? Somebody's giving me advice. I'm listening to some doctor on television or some radio talk show, and he's giving advice. What's right and wrong? What is true and what's false? How to live? What to do? And all of this. And they're giving their advice. How do I know which of that, if that wisdom is from earthly wisdom or is it heavenly wisdom? How do I know? The answer is, what does it produce? We're going to notice that here in this passage. In Luke chapter 7, verse 35, Jesus made this statement. He said, wisdom is justified of all her children. I think he's touching on what we're reading here in James. He's basically saying this, genuine, true wisdom from above will be evident on what it produces, on the impact it has. And we'll see that here. I'll just preach until we run out of time. But notice my first thought is this tonight. Number one, I want us to notice the contrast of earthly and heavenly wisdom. The contrast between the two. Look at verse 15 with me. He says this, this wisdom that he describes in verse 14, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly. Earthly. Come down to verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Then he goes on and describes it. Here you have in this passage of scripture, two different wisdoms. Wisdom that is earthly, from below, and wisdom that is from above, from heaven, God's wisdom. Two completely different perspectives on reality. The wisdom that is of the earth says this is the way reality is. This is what's true. This is reality. The wisdom from above gives a completely different perspective. Two completely different perspectives on life issues, on what is right and wrong. What is important and what isn't important. Two different, completely different perspectives on what our priorities should be. On what our values should be. On the principles we should live our lives by. Two completely different perspectives. And he's contrasting the two. And by the way, every one of us here tonight, we are living by one of those two ways of thinking. Either we're living by heavenly wisdom, the heavenly perspective, or we're living by the earthly. We're making decisions based upon either heavenly wisdom or earthly wisdom. We're living our life. We're behaving ourselves in the way we're behaving, either by earthly wisdom or heavenly wisdom, one of the two. And there are very clear contrasts between the two. When I was young, my grandma used to make quilts. This is an old illustration, but I think it points out what he's saying here is, Grandma used to make quilts. Many ladies here make quilts. I don't think any of the guys do. Mark, do you make quilts? Do you? He has cats and all the other stuff too. But Grandma would make quilts. And they'd sit around, you know, and they'd quilt and gossip and quilt and go on and they'd go around. And if you look, we got one at our house my grandma made. And you look at that quilt while it was being made. If you looked at it from the top, if you got up high and looked down on that quilt as they're making it, it had a beautiful pattern. Now, the one we have has huge butterflies and has flowers all around it and just intricate detail in the stitching that is in there and the whole pattern is just beautiful. And you look at it from the top, you look at it from above, and everything makes sense. And there's plan and purpose and beauty and everything that's all laid out on that quilt. But as a little kid, I could crawl down underneath that quilt before they had the backing on while they're still stitching it and look up from below. And it was total chaos. It made no sense. Threads, colors back and forth and over here. No design, no apparent design, no apparent plan, no apparent purpose to any of it. It was just chaos, meaningless jumble. And there's two wisdoms. The wisdom from above looks down and says there is a plan, there is a purpose, there is a design for all that is going on. But the wisdom that is from below looks at the world and says, I don't see any plan at all. There's no purpose for our existence. There's no reason we are here. There's no plan laid out. It's just chaos. You and I are just the result of chaotic happenstance. And there's no reason, rhyme, or purpose to anything in life. But the wisdom that is above says, oh, no, no. No, no, no. You might not see it, but there is a plan. There is a purpose. There is a design. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So he's contrasting here the wisdom from above or the wisdom from earth. How do you tell the difference? How do I know if what somebody's advising me, how I should behave myself as a husband or a father, as a Christian, how should I behave myself as a citizen? I hear this more and more from the young people in school. They're teaching us good citizenship. Now, I don't know. That makes me nervous. And so they're teaching me how to live and how I should function in society and what is right and wrong. And they're teaching me what is my priority should be and what kind of principles I should live by and what my values in life should be. And how do I decide right and wrong? And this advice is being thrown at us. How do I know whether that advice, that wisdom's being given to me is from God or it's of the earth? Let me give you two ways to tell that. Number one, ask myself, is this scriptural? Does this advice line up with Scripture? Does this wisdom that's being given me, does it line up with the Word of God or does it contradict it? Because anything that contradicts God's Word is not of God. Anything that violates Scripture, anything that goes against the principles of God's Word is not of God. That wisdom is not from above. It is earthly. It is sensual. It is devilish. So there's a contrast here. There's the earthly wisdom, heavenly wisdom. How do I know the difference? First of all, is it a scriptural or not? And then the second question is, I already touched on this, what does it produce? And he really dwells on that here. We'll see this probably next week as we look at this. But what does this wisdom, this advice, if it's followed, this wisdom that I'm being given to me, if it's followed, what does it produce in life? How does it affect society? How does it affect my behavior? We need to very much consider the advice we expose ourselves to. How does it affect? What's the end result of it? You say, well, preacher, I don't listen to much advice from people. I'm trying to just keep my nose in the Bible and all of that. That's good, but I'm telling you, you probably are being given advice more than you realize. I would suggest we be very, very careful in the music we listen to, the songs we listen to. Come on now, is anybody with me tonight on this? I would suggest the vast majority of the music out there is advice telling us how to live, what we should do, how we should respond to things. You listen to the words of those songs. You say, amen, preacher, I'm against rap music. That's bad advice. I'm against rock and roll music. That's bad advice. I want to challenge you to stop and listen to your country music. Listen to what they're saying. Listen to what they're advising you to do or not to do or how you should respond. Listen to, you say, oh, it's just songs about stories. Yeah, but listen to the example they're given how you should respond. Well, my wife ran off with the dog. Oh, you know, I'll go get drunk, shoot the cat. Now, that's maybe scriptural there, but I'm kidding. At talk radio, listen, I'm conservative. I'm just saying this. Some of this talk radio that goes on may be conservative politically, but it is unscriptural in its mentality and its philosophy. It is man-centered. It is worldly. I can't even listen to it. Listen, I'm just saying, I'm not trying to attack anybody or anything. I'm just saying, I can't listen to it just because of the music that's tied in with it. It drives me nuts. The language is filthy. I'm telling you, anything that uses filthy language, I don't care how conservative it is, anything that uses filthy language is not of God. You can't reconcile that. And I'm all for, I agree, our country needs some conservative things and all of that. I'm all for that. But I'll tell you what our country really needs. Our country needs Jesus Christ. It needs the gospel. So we have to be very careful what we listen to. There's a contrast. There's a difference between the heavenly wisdom, that which is from above, and the wisdom of the world. It's in our music. It's in our talk radio shows. It's on the television. And all this advice, I can't stand these situation comedies. They glorify sin. They exalt weakness. They are everything. Here's what they do. They mock God. They mock sin. They make fun. They glorify sin. There's not hardly a show on TV anymore that doesn't glorify sodomy in one form or another. There's a little show where people go buy houses around the world and a house hunters thing, and they'll go through it. I like that. It's just an innocent little show. People looking at houses, they're going to decide which one they want to buy. And I sit there and covet. Hey, it's not as great as I thought it was. I just got convicted. And inevitably, sooner or later, they're going to have some sodomite. I just turn it off. And so, I don't know how I got on that, but there's two philosophies, there's two wisdoms out there. It's either of God or it's of the world. And he contrasts these here. Now, we don't have time tonight, and I'm going to have to quit. But I'm telling you, we ought to study this passage. We ought to look at this very carefully, because all of us, we're being influenced by this wisdom, either the wisdom from above or the wisdom of the world, the wisdom from below. And telling us how to live, telling us what we should do, what we should not do, what our values should be, what our priorities should be, all of this. And we need to be very, very careful. Now, I don't have time. Next week, Lord willing, we'll get into the characteristics of the earthly wisdom. Now, this is where he gets in. He says, all right, this is what this wisdom is like. This is what it produces. This earthly wisdom. Then later on, he comes that the wisdom from above, this is how it affects you. This is what it produces. This is what its characteristics are like. Very clear distinction between the two. But I think I'm going to leave it with this. Our challenge tonight is this. I want to challenge us to stop and think through, what am I allowing myself to be influenced by? What am I operating by? If the earthly wisdom, he says three things about it. It's earthly, it's sensual, and it's devilish. Now, we don't think about that. We're going to look at it. I think it'll challenge you. But let's just stop. What am I allowing influence? At the very least, we ought to have our nose in God's Word every day. And letting God teach us, get God's perspective, get God's wisdom, meditate on that. We ought to be memorizing God's Scripture, the Word of God. We haven't said much about this lately, but we ought to be memorizing, getting it in our head. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By listening to the world's wisdom? No. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy Word. Thy Word have I hid in my heart. Reading the Bible, memorizing the Bible, being faithful to church, getting around God's people. You know, it helps me to be around y'all. Some more than others, but no, I'm kidding. But we need each other to help us keep our thinking straight and encourage us. Amen. If you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, I tell you that's the most important thing in the world. Is know that you've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Father in heaven, I ask you to bless us. Lord, next week, Lord willing, we'll get in and look in some of the details here, how it applies to our life. But I pray that maybe tonight the challenge would be that we just stop and think about what are we exposing ourselves? What are we allowing to influence us? How is it affecting us? Lord, some of us are really struggling with the flesh. Some of us are really struggling with these worldly, sensual, devilish things. Maybe it's because we've got that world's wisdom and put in our head. Lord, just help us to examine ourselves, I pray. Our heads bowed, eyes closed. How many would say, Preacher, I know already, I don't know already. God's already been dealing with my heart. There's some areas in my life where I really need to make adjustments. And what I expose myself to, what I allow to influence me. And you'd say, Preacher, pray with me that God would give me the grace and I'd be able to make the decisions to discipline myself and control what I allow to influence me and how it affects me. Is there any like that by the uplifted hand? Preacher, I already know that. God bless you. Hands all around. God will help us. I'm not saying isolate ourselves, but I am saying we ought to filter what we allow to influence us. How many, anyone here tonight say, Preacher, I don't know for sure that when I die, I'm going to heaven. I'm telling you, you don't want to go to hell. You'd say, Preacher, pray for me. I need to settle this matter of my soul's salvation. I need that settled. Pray with me that God will help me settle that. Is there any like that at all this evening? Now, Father in heaven, bless our invitation, I ask. Have your way in our lives. Guide us and help us have victory, I pray, in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.